Our Father in heaven, the God who dwells in glory and majesty, we thank you for this time that we can come before your presence to worship you as your people. Thank you for creating us in your image with the capacity to know you, to love you, to respond to your calling. Thank you for your kind intention toward us. We ask that you will help us to know how to respond fully to all that you intend for us in the Lord Jesus Christ and your intentions for us in church life. Help us to be able to understand and be fully involved, fully participating, and able to live a life of true abundance and fruitfulness. For we know that that is your intention for us. We commit this time into your hands and pray that you will have the freedom to speak to us by your Spirit, that our hearts may be receptive and respond well to what you have to say to us. For we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 43rd message. We are considering moral, spiritual beauty and stature of man, the 12th message. How to make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, the 9th message. And we are now considering outworking of church life, the 3rd message. We have seen it is God's will that outworking of healthy church life and body life provide the framework in the environment for wholesome and effective growth and service for God's people. One way of appreciating how it is feasible to develop all facets of moral, spiritual beauty and stature at the same time is integration into and a working of healthy church life. And that is, in fact, the context of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, where Paul tells us how it is God's desire for us to grow unto maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's way for us. The last message we noted, for church life to work out well, as intended by God, we must carefully observe two important principles. One, adequate opportunities for participation, spiritual exercise and learning, and growing together for every member of the body of Christ. Secondly, freedom for the Holy Spirit to move, speak, work in, and work through every member of the body of Christ. These two principles are also important for effective growth of every believer in the congregation. We went on to consider how we have sought to work out church life over the years, bearing in mind these principles. We have sought to provide the structural framework and conducive environment for the two principles to work out well. And the last message, we considered open worship and teaching sessions during prayer meeting and teaching sessions. Today I want to continue with the time of sharing and prayer during our prayer meeting and teaching sessions. That is, when we come together, when we have teaching sessions as well as prayer, sharing in prayer together, there's a time for sharing in prayer. And during such times, the way we have gone about it, anyone can share concerns of his heart for prayer, and then the congregation spreads out into small groups so that everyone have the opportunity to participate in prayer. This is helpful so that all of us and each one of us can learn to express ourselves in prayer in the presence of others, learning to exercise our spirit and also to contribute our part. And we should seek to learn to participate in this way. It is helpful for us. It's also part of our contribution to the life of the body. And then finally, we come together, we unite our hearts and spirit as a congregation in closing prayer. And during times when we have corporate prayer, that is, we come together just for sharing and prayer, again, we have the opportunity for everyone to share for prayer, and then that is followed by a time where anyone can participate in praying aloud over the various issues, and the whole congregation join him in heart and spirit. And finally, the whole congregation uniting in closing prayer. Such times of coming together as a congregation for prayer is a very important part of outworking of church life. It's an expression of our need of God and our dependence on God, and also a time where as we unite our hearts together in prayer, we can see God working through prayer. Such times can also help us to nurture the prayer life of the individual believer as well as the prayer life of the congregation. There is a lot of potential in this area, and we need to continue to look to the Lord and to work at it. And prayer life, prayer must undergird the well-being and the outworking of every aspect of church life. Because unless the Spirit of God works, we will not be able to work out well. Not only that, such times of prayer together is also an opportunity for us to contribute our part to the Lord's work and the universal church, and not just within our own context. Every believer should learn to exercise himself in prayer. This is important for his own development, his own growth, and also for him to contribute his part. Some of us may at times wonder. We may think that we are not so able to participate, to contribute, and especially to the Lord's work and to the universal church. We wonder, how can we contribute something to the universal church? And we may also have difficulty exercising ourselves in effective prayer on our own. Our times of prayer together during prayer meetings as a congregation can help us to fulfill the longings of our hearts in these directions. On our own, we may have difficulty to know how we can contribute to the Lord's work, but joining in spirit, in prayer with the whole congregation, can enable us to participate and contribute in prayer for the Lord's work and the universal church in ways we are not able on our own. And we can do this regularly. A meaningful aspect of such times of prayer together is that we can join in and exercise our spirit to the degree that is appropriate for us. Different ones can exercise himself to varying degrees. When we join our hearts and spirit in prayer, it is not the same for everyone. We seek to do so, exercise ourselves to a degree that is suitable, feasible, appropriate. And we can also pray over issues we may not be so ready to pray on our own. For example, praying over issues which involve spiritual warfare. It may not be so suitable for us on our own to pray, especially with any degree of intensity, over such matters on our own. Otherwise, we may get into spiritual difficulties, or we may at times not even know how to go about, how to pray over these issues. But when we come together in this way, we can join our hearts and spirit. Yes, we also still need to regulate the degree of intensity of prayer, but we can participate and pray and contribute in a manner that we may find not so feasible when we are on our own. And as we participate and contribute in prayer, we also exercise our spirit and grow in spiritual strength and stature. So not only we contribute, we also grow in the process. As we come together in this way, as we observe how others pray, we can also learn from them. Learn how to pray, and how to pray meaningfully, appropriately, effectively. So not only a time for contribution, but also a time for learning. Home fellowship groups. It is good for brethren who want to work out well in church life and to grow wholesomely in the Lord to belong to a small group. In our context, we call it home fellowship groups. A context where the brethren can learn to care for one another, pray for one another, study the scriptures together, and learn to bear one another's burdens. All this we know are scriptural injunctions. The Lord wants us to learn to care for one another, bear one another's burdens, pray for one another, and also to learn together. And in the home fellowship groups, there are opportunities for everyone, for each one, for all, to share, to pray, to contribute, and to receive. And not only that, a key word is regularly. So that all may grow in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, and all may participate and contribute something appropriate for himself, for him or her. And we can share, pray, and participate in such a context in a manner that is not so feasible if we do not belong to such a small group. If we only come for meetings as a congregation, that is not so feasible for everyone to participate in this way because there are too many people. The opportunities are not adequate for everyone to exercise, participate in the same way. But I say in a manner not feasible without belonging to such a small group, I want to emphasize here, it is not just any small group. The home fellowship group is not just a group for fellowship and for Bible study, although it includes these two aspects. A very key issue is that it is meant for the outworking of church life. It's different if we just belong to a small group. It's a context where the brethren have a common sense of purpose and direction. And there's a shared understanding. It's part of experience of total outworking of church life. And the teaching and preaching and the outworking of church life over the years, if we are properly integrated in the church life, we will have an understanding together. And subsequently, I will share more, comment more on the important issue of integration into church life. So this is an integral part of learning and growing together in our working in church life as God desires for us. The existence of small groups, the home fellowship groups, provide more opportunities for participation, for interaction, for spiritual exercise. We also learn from the participation of others, their understanding, their insight into the scriptures as well as various issues of life, that we can benefit from them, we can also interact with them, we can also benefit from comments by others on what we share. Sometimes we may think we are quite clear, we understand the scriptures in a certain way or the way we view certain issues, and we may carry on holding such views for many, many years, even though they may not be so wholesome. But in a home fellowship context, when we share and others comment on it, and if we are open, then we may realize that some of our views, our understanding, is not so wholesome, and we can then correct them, modify them accordingly. And some of these aspects can have very far-reaching implications, because some of these unwholesome views that we have, if we do not change them, we may continue to hold them and live our lives on the basis of understanding of those aspects for many, many years, and our lives will not be so wholesome. It can at times be seriously distorted. Likewise, how to approach issues of life, whether in workplace, relationship with people, and many other things. As we share, interact, we can have a more wholesome understanding of these issues and also learn from what others go through. But all this can work out well if we are open and we are all looking to the Holy Spirit to guide and undertake. Existence of home fellowship groups and belonging to a home fellowship group would also mean it is more feasible for needs of individuals to be met and for none to be neglected. I say more feasible. It doesn't mean the existence of such a group will straight away mean that all needs will be met. But it becomes more feasible. But then we need to work at it. That is, any believer who wants to and is prepared to do his part should be able to learn and to grow well together with the brethren. So, I mentioned it is feasible. The other is, I also want to emphasize that for the needs of the individuals we met, for believers to grow well in the context then, the believer himself must also want to grow well and also prepared to do his part. That is also what God requires of us. No matter how much God loves us, whatever the environment, however others may want to care for us, but if we on our part are not willing, not prepared to avail ourselves of what is available, then it may not work out well for us. However, it does not mean that we should only relate with people in the same home fellowship group, or for that matter, it can well be that the deepest fellowships that we have with brethren may not be with those in the same home fellowship group. There's nothing wrong with that, so long as our attitudes are positive. The ones we have the deepest fellowship may be those not in the same home fellowship group. That is all right. But we need to understand the reasons for having home fellowship group and learn to participate appropriately. I now want to make comments beyond the structural framework. We have sought to provide the structural framework, but now beyond the structural framework that's available, the structural framework in itself will not ensure that everything will go on well. It is important to have suitable structure. But beyond the structural framework, we must pray, continually pray, look to the Lord to guide, to undertake, and seek to do our part to promote effective outworking. Not just pointing fingers at others, but seek to concentrate on fulfilling our part well. Yes, that would include encouraging others, but especially so, we must concentrate on fulfilling our part well. That is God's call for each one of us. To learn well, to grow well, to do our part well. Within the structured meetings, as well as outside of such formal gatherings. Our working of church life is not confined to outworking within the structured meetings. We've mentioned open worship, times of prayer, teaching sessions, home fellowship groups. But our working of church life goes beyond. It's not confined to within the structured meetings. If we are functioning as the Lord desires of us, then expression of church life and body life should be an ongoing, ceaseless reality at all times. It includes all forms of expression and nurturing of good fellowship and contribution to one another's lives, not just during the structured meetings, as well as body life being expressed by every believer at all times in various contexts. If we are working out well, this should be what is taking place. The body life being expressed by every believer at all times in various contexts, whether in the home, in the schools, in the workplace, our encounters and interactions with different ones, as salt of the earth and light of the world, and as ambassadors for Christ. But take note, if we are properly integrated into church life, and church life is functioning well, then all we do would be expressions of the life of the body, and continually supported and ministered to by the life of the body. I want to reflect a little on this statement. I mentioned if we are properly integrated. That is important, which I'll elaborate afterwards. But we need to be properly integrated into church life, and also church life is functioning well. If these two elements are in place, then all we do would be expressions of the life of the body and continually supported and ministered to by the life of the body. This is a very meaningful spiritual reality. Just like the blood supply of the body flowing to all parts of the body and reaching to all organs of the body all the time. This is because we are spiritually joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us. And we are also joined to one another in the body of Christ, spiritually. And the life of Christ flows through his body. And body life flows to all in the body. This is the way the Lord desires of it, but it's also true by our attitude, our ways, our conduct, we can hinder this from working out well. So I emphasized just now, important that we be properly integrated into church life. But some of you may wonder, I've mentioned integrated into church life from time to time, but what does this mean? It's important for us to understand the meaning and also to enter into its reality. So the meaning of integrated into church life. This is not just being present at meetings. Though presence at the various meetings is very important. But beyond being present at meetings, we must in our hearts seek to understand the Lord's call together. It's not just a social activity, but it's coming together to understand the Lord's call and seeking to understand the Lord's call together. What are God's plans and purposes and what they involve? And as we come together, as we understand, then we must be identified with God's desires for the congregation in working out church life and the fulfillment of God's purposes. So over the years, we've sought to understand these things. You must then seek to understand together and be identified with our understanding of what God desires, God's call, and how we should work out together in church life. And together with the understanding, we must be a part of it. Being a part of it and learning, growing, and serving together in heart and spirit. Is your heart and spirit in it? Can you recognize? Do you agree that this is God's call? This is what God desires? And in your heart, in your spirit, are you part of it? And we must be committed to participate in whatever form that is feasible, helpful, and appropriate. I mention feasible, helpful, appropriate because there are times when we may not be able to participate in a certain way. There are some meetings at times, for example, we are overseas, we can't be part of it. That is all right. But our whole attitude and approach, do we seek to participate in whatever form that is feasible, that is helpful, that is appropriate? Are we committed to it? And do we give it due priority? If we are properly integrated, then it means that we are committed to it and we seek to be involved, to participate in whatever form that is feasible, helpful, appropriate. We give it due priority. Our heart is in it. Not so much because others expect of us, or we just want to be there so that others can see that we are present, but because we understand that this is God's call. This is the will of God, and we do so with conviction. And we persevere. We are not easily deterred by obstacles in the way or difficulties in the path of our working, because we know that to respond to God's call, to work at what God desires, there will be spiritual opposition. There will also be difficulties of different kinds, but we do not give up easily. We will not be deterred. We will persevere. It is important that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit or in any way hinder or block the support and life of the body from flowing to and through you. Now you may wonder, why should I want to block? At times it may not be that you want to block the life from flowing through you, but you may actually block the life from flowing through you. You seek to be properly integrated, then the life can flow to and through you, the support and life of the body. But you can block it, you can hinder it. For example, if there are wrong negative attitudes within you, the negative spirit, or a wrong approach. For example, if you are individualistic in your approach to life and the outworking of your life, you are not bearing in mind the body. They seek to understand your part in the body, but you are individualistic in your approach, then you will hinder the support and life of the body from flowing to and through you. Or you only want to give. That may sound strange, but there are some who concentrate on giving, but they are not ready. Their hearts are not so receptive to receive. That would also hinder. On the other hand, there are those who only want to receive. Well, it may not be absolute, but it's not wholesome in either aspect. You only want to receive, but you're not so prepared to contribute your part. Then it would also be a problem. We must also look to the Lord so that our lives, in the way we go about our lives, we do not make it unnecessarily difficult for others to relate with or reach out to us. I say unnecessarily difficult. For example, it's not just because of personality traits. For example, there are some who may be relatively quiet and reserved. That's part of their personality trait. That's all right. Such ones can still have deep fellowship with the brethren. But we need to take some care so that we do not make it unnecessarily difficult for others to relate with or to reach out to us. We need to remove unnecessary barriers and obstacles. For example, unfriendly mannerisms and aloofness. Or we are self-centered and selfish. Or we are hypercritical. Hypercritical spirit. We make it difficult for others to relate with us. We must also be available for healthy fellowship. Of course, over the years, we have, from time to time, in communication of various sorts, commented on how some of these things can develop in healthy form. But how brothers and sisters relate with one another, we also need to exercise some care that's appropriate, that's correct. But we also need to be available for healthy fellowship in a spirit of Christian love and along the lines in the direction that God desires of His children. We must also have due regard and respect for all who are sincere and seeking to work out church life as brothers and sisters in the Lord. There can be various differences in backgrounds, way of looking at things, understanding things, doing things. There can be various differences of these sorts, but we must seek to understand that if brothers and sisters are sincere, we must give them due regard and due respect for their views, their way of doing things, and not insist that it must be our way of understanding, our way of doing things, and seek to understand the intent in the hearts of brothers and sisters, and not jump to conclusions, and seek to minimize unnecessary misunderstandings. Because in these areas, we can be sure the evil one will be very actively at work to promote misunderstandings of all kinds and difficulties of all sorts. We must look to the Lord to help us to overcome. And even if there are genuine difficulties, to continue to look to the Lord to see how we can do our part to promote good fellowship and effective outworking of church life. So then, to work out well in church life, the brethren must learn to care for one another, beginning from our own hearts. Not so much just expecting others, but for our own selves, starting with our own hearts. Do we really care for others as the Lord desires of us? There must be this willingness to relate and to contribute as well as to receive. Each one seeking to participate, to contribute to a degree that is appropriate. We should not pressurize one another or be demanding, although there's a place for us to encourage one another to work out well. But brethren must learn to concentrate on fulfilling their part well, rather than being demanding or concentrating on the expectations of others. Notice that the scriptural exhortations, many of these exhortations of the scriptures are directed at the believer, not so much directed at your expectations of others. So let us, if you are going to respond well to God, concentrate on what God expects of us and seek to do our part well. But there's a place for us, yes. Even as we want to work out well, we are concerned for the Lord's work, and even part of our caring for others, to encourage others to work out well, that's correct. But be careful of becoming very demanding or concentrating on expectations of others, but rather concentrating on fulfilling our part well. And at times, we may not quite understand how others may be seeking to work out their part in their context. Give room in this regard. And continually pray for one another that the Lord will help each one of us to fulfill our part well. Paul exhorts believers to bear one another's burdens. We can see this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. That is what God desires of us. That is, we learn to care for one another. But then Paul goes on to tell us in verse 5, for each one will bear his own load. So we must bear in mind that Paul, on the one hand, he exhorts us to bear one another's burdens, and then he also tells us each one must learn to bear his own load. That is, we must concentrate on fulfilling our part, to learn to care for others, but we also learn to attend to our own responsibilities and needs in whatever manner that is appropriate. I mentioned that in our midst, we have sought to provide suitable framework and conducive environment for all to learn and to grow together. But for the brethren to benefit from what is made available, then, as I mentioned just now, the believer must be prepared to integrate into church life. Otherwise, what is made available will not really help you. We must integrate into church life and also avail ourselves of all that is available, including fulfilling our part. What is made available includes the opportunities for us to participate, and we need to fulfill our part. Then we can fully benefit from and participate in what God desires of us. Let us encourage and help one another in that direction. What we must continually work on, not just at a moment in time, but persevere in that direction, in line with what we've been talking about, one major aspect that we need to bear in mind is to continue to promote the environment for the freedom of the Holy Spirit to move, to speak, and to work, and to minimize or to remove whatever hinders. We should be encouraging and supportive of participation with right spirit and approach, including, for example, participation during open worship, but also prayer meetings, study sessions, in a home fellowship context, informal times. We should be encouraging and supportive of participation where brethren have sought to do so with the right spirit. And we must also learn to encourage in the right manner and approach, because if we are not careful, we can be putting undue pressure on others, and it can move in the direction of coercion, even though the intent may be positive. Even as we seek to encourage and be supportive of participation by the brethren, we must also give room for different ones who are at different stages of development to participate in different forms in a manner that's appropriate for them, also reflecting their different personalities, their different backgrounds and experiences, and the different roles God desires of them in the body. It may be appropriate for us to participate more in a certain form, but it doesn't necessarily mean everybody should be participating to the same degree in that form. Different ones may be concentrating on in different manners, in different ways, as the Lord desires. And even as we seek to work out, we've emphasized freedom. Freedom of the Holy Spirit to move, speak, and work, which also includes a recognition of an environment where there is the freedom for the brethren to express themselves as the Holy Spirit leads them. But then we need to bear in mind, it is freedom for brethren to express themselves as the Lord desires of them. And that would mean what is going on will be edifying for the body and pleasing to the Lord. It would also mean both freedom and liberty as well as order. Let us look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. A few verses there. So the freedom for expression must not be abused. It's not just freedom to do whatever we feel like. It can be very detrimental to our own lives as well as detrimental to church life. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. So when we express ourselves, we must bear in mind it's meant to edify the body. Verse 26. What is the outcome then, brethren, when you assemble? Each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. We can participate in different ways, but it's all with a view to the edification of the body. Verse 40. But all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. God is a God of order, and all things must be done properly, in a manner that is pleasing to God. So it's important for us to bear in mind, freedom is freedom in the Holy Spirit, and freedom in the truth. We must seek to work out within the framework of biblical revelation and biblical principles, and what is pleasing to the Lord. In our consideration of church life, healthy church life, and environment that is helpful, conducive for the Holy Spirit to move, speak, and work, one aspect for us to bear in mind is this. We must be ready and also thankfully receive and benefit from all that God wants to minister to us through the totality of our working of church life. We shouldn't pick and choose. God desires us to work out well in church life, and for us to grow wholesomely, then we must be open and also thankful and glad we can benefit from all aspects, from the totality of the outworking of church life. And also, this means from every and any member of the body that the God desires that we can benefit from. And we should not hinder or block out what the Spirit of God desires to do. One will be through our lives, in and through our lives. The other is others ministering to us. Yes, there's a place for it. There's nothing wrong. There are some from whom we can benefit more from. That's all right. But we need to be careful not to block out the ministry of the body of Christ to us in whatever form God sees fit. Another aspect that is important for us to bear in mind for church life to work out well is that we must exercise great care not to say or to do anything that hurts the body. This is a serious matter. It is the body of Christ. When Paul was persecuting the Christians, the Lord Jesus told him he was persecuting the Lord Jesus. If we hurt the body, we are hurting the body of Christ. This will be directly contrary to what God desires of us, which is to build up the body. Building up the body does not necessarily mean that all the time everything will go on smoothly, everything is pleasant, but it builds up. We need to exercise care that what we do, we look to the Spirit of God to help us, to guide us, so that what flows forth will build up and not tear down, will not hurt the body. In our working out together, we have also sought to minimize appointment to fix responsibilities and having various committees, so that the Holy Spirit can have the freedom to lead, guide, and to enable various ones to participate and to contribute as the Spirit of God sees fit. In this way, individual believers are also encouraged to prayerfully look to the Lord for guidance, how best to fulfill His part, rather than doing something because He has been assigned to Him. This will then give more room for the freedom of the Spirit to move and for each one to look to the Spirit to guide. This would also reduce the problem of someone trying very hard to fulfill a part that's assigned to him, which is actually beyond him, and then he overstrains himself or he does something that is not suitable for him. So we've sought to minimize fixed appointments, responsibilities, committees, and so on, except when really needful. But in such an environment, for this to work out well, there must then be the active looking to the Lord by each believer to see how best he can participate and contribute his part. Because failure to do so would mean The believer may drift into passivity, and this can happen easily, especially for some of us. Because there are others who may be very active, but it may be in the flesh, and not what the Spirit of God really desires of him. So we need to be prayerful, whichever way. You tend to be active, you tend to be more reserved and keep to yourself. Whatever it is, we have to go beyond our natural tendencies or personality traits, but to look to the Spirit of God to help us understand how we should participate as God desires of us. We must be careful not to drift into passivity and become just merely onlookers or passengers rather than lively members of the body. An approach that's important for us to bear in mind, and we've sought to work this out to bear this in mind in church life, whether it be in preaching, in teaching, in counseling, or home fellowship group discussions, as well as working in church life generally. And that is, the basis of our functioning together must be God's revelation in the scriptures to the degree we are able to understand. This means, in whatever aspects we are seeking to work out, we try our best to show the basis, and also how we understand, how we arrive at the truth. And when we reason out things, it is on the basis of biblical truths and principles. And on top of that, I want to qualify and add on, prayerfully and independence on the Lord. That is, not just merely trying to support our views or what we are doing by turning to the scriptures to support our views. This can still result in things that are very far from what God desires, and basically emphasizing our own inclinations and desires. We start with our own thinking, our own desires, and then we look to the scriptures to support us. Rather, we must sincerely and also prayerfully look to the Lord to seek to understand what God really desires and the meaning of the scriptural principles that are relevant on the issue, and then seek to apply them. That is, it is true submission to the Lord and submission to the guidance of the Spirit. This is very important. Whether it be discussions in the home fellowship group over various issues, church life, various aspects, and also in preaching and teaching and counseling, it's a responsibility of each one of us. None is exempted. All of us must submit to the authority of God, to the authority of the scriptures, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In conformity with biblical emphasis, we have also sought to emphasize on reality and beauty and development of the inner man rather than outward appearance of things and outward expressions and outward show. However, true inward reality would find expressions in outward manifestations. We cannot say there's all the reality within, but we are not working our lives. However, we must also be slow to conclude on how others are faring. Don't be too quick to judge others, to criticize others. Where is the reality in your life? I don't see any outward expression, or all the expressions I see are contrary. Be slow. Although there's a place for us to form tentative impressions of varying degrees of clarity. But be slow to conclude. There may be various things that we may not yet understand or perceive accurately. But we encourage one another to progress well, that is correct. But beware of hypercritical spirit, judgmental spirit, and all forms of negative spirit that will be damaging to our own lives, that will grieve the Holy Spirit, that will tear down rather than build up. Let us ask the Lord to help us to be rid of all forms and traces of negative spirit. No matter what may be happening, there's no justification for the presence of a negative spirit. I want to conclude with 2 points. One, the scriptures sometimes likens the ministry of the Holy Spirit to water. For example, the Lord Jesus uses the expression rivers of living water in John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39. Verse 38, the Lord Jesus says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Verse 39, "But this is spoke of the Spirit." So the Lord Jesus refers to rivers of living water flowing, and he says this is a reference to the Spirit. John tells us the Lord Jesus is referring to the Spirit. What we've been talking about, freedom for the Holy Spirit to move, speak, work in and through every member of the body of Christ, and not to hinder the ministry of the Holy Spirit, can be expressed in this way. And perhaps this can help us to remember. And I see that this is a continuing an area that we need to be continually conscious of. That is, to let the water of the Holy Spirit flow freely in and through every member of the body of Christ, in every aspect of church life and our working of church life, including relationship and fellowship amongst the brethren. The Spirit of God wants to work. Let the water of the Holy Spirit flow freely in each one, through each one, in every aspect of church life, and also in the area of relationship and fellowship. Let us do what we can to facilitate its flow prayerfully. What we seek to do to facilitate its flow, and also including prayer. Through prayer, we can facilitate the flow of the Holy Spirit. God is pleased to work through prayer. So let us do what we can to facilitate its flow, and let us not do anything to hinder it or to erect obstacles along its path of flow. It's not so much we are trying to block anybody. The issue ultimately is we are blocking what the Holy Spirit desires to do, what God wants to do, which is a serious matter. Let us instead try to remove all barriers and obstacles along its path of flow, which means we need to be prayerful, to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is seeking to do. This will also help us to be more conscious in seeking to work out church life, to look to the Lord, to be prayerful, to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is seeking to do, and what is it that grieves the Spirit of God, what is it that will be contrary. Let us not put anything in its way. Beginning with what hinders the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. That is critical. We must start there. Is there anything that hinders the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our own lives, working in our lives, working through our lives? Remove that, and also whatever we may do that will grieve the Spirit of God, not just in our own lives, but in the outworking of church life. And finally, I want to conclude with the second point in our consideration of this issue of growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature and outworking of church life. I want to link this to the universal church, the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not just outworking, like, for example, in our context, in the local congregation. God's intention for growth and service and equipping of believers includes learning and benefiting from, as well as contributing to the universal church, the body of Christ, of which we are a part. We must be conscious of this and take our proper place. We must not isolate ourselves, view ourselves as just working out amongst ourselves, and that's it. We are part of the body of Christ, the universal church. So two aspects, learn, the other is contribute. We begin with learn. We must also learn from what the Lord has taught others in the universal church. Don't restrict ourselves from learning just from our own amongst ourselves. Although that is important, learning from one another, we must also be open to what the Lord can teach us through others in the universal church, from their lives, their writings, their messages, from men of God throughout church history, as well as those who are still alive. However, and this is an important qualification, we need to exercise care not to be led astray or influenced by wrong or unwholesome teaching and emphasis. And there's much that's going around that is not wholesome. And we can easily be influenced. And as a result, our lives can be damaged if we are not careful. And it's not always easy to discern what is unwholesome. The scriptures do warn us in many different passages. They need to exercise care not to be led astray. So we must carefully ground ourselves in what is revealed in the scriptures, and especially important areas. They are clearly revealed. Have a good grasp of these, and they will help us to discern, to recognize, to be able to sense that something is amiss, even if we cannot pinpoint where it is when we do come across views and teachings that are not wholesome. And in this regard, an important point to bear in mind, which I've emphasized in times past, I will not elaborate here. Whatever we are not clear about, do not absorb into our lives. We may just bear in mind that we have come across this view. Let us only absorb what we are very clear, the scriptures teach, and build on the clear. And the less clear with passing time will become clearer to us. We can also learn and benefit from interaction and fellowship with brethren, not from our midst. The qualification I mentioned just now still applies. We can learn, we can benefit, but we must also be careful that we are not influenced in a way that it will not be helpful for our lives. But let us also recognize the need to do our part, to contribute to the Lord's work and the universal church, and we can. If we are functioning as the Lord desires of us, God does want us to take our proper place and to contribute our part. And different congregations may contribute in different ways. The emphasis may be different. But let us learn to look to the Lord to understand what He desires of us. I just briefly mentioned here, to cover this properly requires much more time. I do not intend to do that now, but I just want to include this part so that we bear in mind the total picture. So we can contribute in different ways. An aspect would be through the positive testimony and witness, and helping non-believers come to know the Lord. Whether it be contributory to, and then subsequently others help them to know the Lord, turn to the Lord, or we actually help them to know the Lord. And many of these may not join us in our context. They may join other congregations. That is all right. It is part of our contribution to the universal church. Our concern ultimately is the advancement of God's kingdom, the Lord's will being done, and God glorified, and how we can faithfully fulfill our part as He desires of us. We can also contribute to the lives of brethren not in our midst through prayer, through personal interaction, through fellowship, and other ways. And as a congregation, over the years, we have also sought to contribute to the Lord's work and to the universal church through prayer and in our personal times of prayer, and it's also together as a congregation. And some of you, I believe many of you, would have noticed that right from the very beginning, in our times of prayer together as a congregation, we have sought to pray not only for the needs in our midst, but to regularly pray for the Lord's work, the universal church, and the Lord's work in different parts of the world. And also through giving, contributing, whatever we recognize would be meaningful, even people we may not have met face to face, we can contribute to their lives through prayer, through giving. And in more recent years, also making more available the audio messages, and through books, through what is made available on the websites. The potential is great in terms of what is feasible, what is possible for us to contribute as a congregation to the universal church, if that is the qualification, if church life is healthy and strong. We cannot keep emphasizing wanting to contribute if we do not first concentrate on having and building up church life that is healthy and strong. Then we can contribute and the potential will be great. The potential is great if church life is healthy and strong and each one of us can have a meaningful part in it if you are properly integrated into church life. Then whatever church life contributes, you have a part in it. As I mentioned earlier, if you function well in church life, you're properly integrated, then whatever any member of the congregation in church life expresses, participates, contributes, we are part of it. We'll stop here for today. Let us prayerfully reflect over our lives and also our working out together in church life. In heaven, we thank you for calling us into your kingdom and to yourself. Thank you for your provisions. We pray that you help each one of us to respond well to your high calling at a personal level and also together as a congregation. Help us to gain insight into what you revealed in the scriptures so that all that we do may reflect the true intent of what you desire and require of your people. That indeed the Spirit of God may have the freedom to speak to us, to work in our hearts, individually, at a personal level, and also together in the body of Christ. Help us that we may learn to live our lives in a manner that promotes unity, oneness, and edification of the body. Help us to take steps to remove all that hinders the ministry of the Holy Spirit in church life, and all that hinders the Holy Spirit in our own lives. Help us also to understand how we can take our proper place as a congregation in the body of Christ, the universal church. Thank you now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. Help us as we partake together to be strengthened, refreshed by the life of the Lord, and also a greater consciousness of our oneness in the body, in the local context, and also in a universal church. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.